So every idea in the universe then is providing itself with intelligence, is providing every other idea with intelligence. The way I worded it is difficult to go through the four. But if I start with the position A, where that which is the ideal idea of me is providing itself with intelligence, and that which is the Christ eye of me is providing every other idea with intelligence, and then recognizing that every other idea is providing itself with intelligence and providing every other idea with intelligence, then how can an idea in the universe be robbed of its intelligence? How can I say that anything is unintelligent? How can I say that there anything is stupid, dumb, uninformed, not exemplifying the full intelligence? Oh, but don't we? Well, yes, don't all say nay or yay at once, right? You know, even we of ourselves, oh, how can I be so dumb? You know, right? Okay, that very spontaneous statement is a robbing of my own God-given mind intelligence, right? It is. It is. And we do it. We do it all the time. It's just, you know, just part of our daily activity. But it isn't true. And it isn't really that which is going on in being. But the point is that that providing fatherhooding sense is always going on in being. So if I'm not providing the truth of what I am automatically providing the lie. I am automatically projecting forth the lie. If I'm not providing and projecting forth the correct image of the seven, I am automatically projecting forth the antithesis of the seven. It's very simple. That's it. And I don't just do that for myself, unfortunately, but since my consciousness determines my experience and nothing's outside of me, I do it for my whole universe, right? So if I see black, my universe is black. If I see, you know, unintelligent, my whole universe is unintelligent. If I see thoughts, my whole universe is thoughts. Because that image that I project for myself, I project out onto the universe because it's a natural law in being that that fatherhooding is always going on. Whether you're living in accordance to the law or in opposition to the law, forget it. The fatherhooding is going on one way or the other. So you might as well provide yourself and every other idea and being with the qualities of the seven, because if not, you're automatically providing it with the antithesis of the qualities of the seven. So I am automatically providing it what? With mortal mind, with matter, with sense testimony, with person, with death, with error, and with, you know, what? Void, nothingness, hate, fear. Awful, isn't it? You say, oh, me? No, I wouldn't do that, right? But we do. We do. So if you catch yourself at it, don't worry about it. Don't get all, you know, religious and moral about it. Just say, oh, slipped up again there, right? And this time, it's not just a case of focus. It's a case of what you're giving out, right? So you got to clear your gaze, that's true. But then you have to go along and give out the right stuff while you're doing it, because that is your nature, and you are going to be giving, 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 whether you realize it or not. But in that projecting forth, you are either giving or robbing. It's one or the other. You're either giving the full nature of being to every idea, or you're robbing it. And I think if we finally will click in and get that through and really understand what that is, oh, goodness, there's just going to be a whole overturning in the universe. There is. There is. You have this most wonderful opportunity. You just pick up any newspaper, pick up any magazine, turn on the television any time of the day, and you can practice the family law. You know, you just have ample opportunity. It's there at all times. Some form of the antithesis of the seven is being drummed in as being happening, right? Okay. Now, that fatherhooding sense is not going on all by itself. There's a chord that's being played simultaneously, right? It's not just independent notes. You've got a whole chord here. And the second note of that chord, more or less, is the sonshipping, right? The affirming, the acknowledging, the claiming. Don't you feel the just solid ground of it, you know? It's just, it is. It is. Don't you dare tell me it isn't. It is, you know? And most of us, in practice, that's where we've been. It is. It is. It is. You know? Yay, yay. Nay, nay. We've constantly affirmed that which is and denied that which isn't. That is the form of practice that we've been in, and that is the form of practice that Mrs. Eddy brought up. It is a metaphysical practice, but now we can see the science of it. And in seeing the science of it, it's going to be ever so much more effective, because we are going to very specifically know that which we are acknowledging, that which we're saying yay, yay about, and that which we're saying nay, nay about. And it's going to be done in a really clear, impersonal, glorious way, because we're going to claim our own ideational inheritance and claim that inheritance for every other idea. Therefore, I am constantly and continually going to be affirming in my consciousness, recognizing that every idea that is of the seven is of me. I claim those ideas as being me. They are mine. Right? They're not outside of me. They're not something I have to go get. They're not something I have to study about, learn about, want. They're mine. It's like I am the son and I claim my inheritance. It's mine. I am intelligence. I claim my intelligence. I possess the recognition of mind's intelligence. Mind's intelligence is my intelligence. You get boom. You just hear this real definite thing. It is. It's a claiming and being. It's when you say, no, I am. You know, I am mind's intelligence. We're just taking intelligence as an example here. Could be anything. And as I affirm that intelligence for myself, as I possess the recognition of that intelligence, I possess that recognition for all other idea. It has to be, you can see, because in truth you have consciousness. And if I recognize in consciousness that intelligence, I recognize it for every other idea, because it isn't outside of me. So I automatically recognize it for every other idea. That reflection is an automatic happening, right? That which I am affirming for myself, I automatically affirm for every other idea. And as an exercise, maybe I have to practice that I affirm it for every other idea. Maybe it's that I have to practice that I affirm it for myself. Maybe, you know how it is, everybody else is intelligent but me. You know, I just don't seem to be able to get it. I can't remember it. I hear it, but I can't seem to get a hold of it. You know all that. But it isn't true. It is yours. That mind is your mind. It is my mind. Claim it. Take possession of it. And then see that in reality, every idea in the universe is claiming that intelligence for itself. And is claiming that intelligence not only for itself, but because of its reflective nature, it's claiming that intelligence for every other idea in the universe. Right? So there isn't an idea in the universe that can deny you or itself intelligence. Every idea in the universe possesses the recognition of mind's intelligence for itself and for every other idea, including that which appears as me. So there can't be an idea in the universe, there can't be anything that could deny me mind's intelligence. Every idea affirms mind's intelligence for me. Oh, I want to tell you, that's very comforting. It is. Because you know, you can just feel that every idea has the recognition of the fact that mind's intelligence is my intelligence. It's terrific. Nobody can misunderstand me at all. It's wonderful. And in that nice little chord, there's another note being played, and that's the motherhood of the idea. And the motherhood of the idea is saying, oh, yes, yes, as an ideal idea, I am accepting, I am holding, I am cherishing, I am protecting you with intelligence. And so therefore, as an ideal idea, I am cherishing mind's intelligence for myself. I am holding myself in mind's intelligence, not in mortal thoughts, in mind's intelligence. It's amazing how close we get and how far away, because we are able to provide ourselves and the universe with intelligence. We're able to claim that intelligence for ourselves and the universe. But what happens about accepting it, taking it in, nurturing it, cherishing it, loving it, tending it, mothering it, anticipating the hope of it, even though you can't see it at all? You have to mother, right? But divine mother, not human mother. We've had enough of her. Divine mother, right? Yes, I speak from experience. Divine mother, motherhood that intelligence, right? Cherish mind's intelligence for myself, and cherish that intelligence for every other idea. And then say, you know what? In reality, every idea in the universe is cherishing that intelligence for itself. Doesn't even need me to do it. It's doing it. It is cherishing. It's holding it. It's nurturing it. It's caring for it. It's just, don't worry about it. Stop worrying about all the children, everything. It's tending to itself, right? It is cherishing that intelligence for itself. And it's cherishing and holding, taking in that intelligence, not only for itself, but for every other idea in the universe. It's fantastic. There isn't an idea in the universe that could starve itself or another idea of intelligence. It couldn't withhold that intelligence from itself or from any other idea. There isn't a belief of retardation. There isn't a belief of injury or accident that has ever affected infinite intelligence. Forget it. It isn't. Doesn't. Nothing can be robbed of its intelligence. Nothing can be denied its intelligence. Nothing can be withheld from its God-given mind intelligence. Isn't that fantastic? And as that's true with intelligence, it's true of every idea of the seven, every numeral, every day. Just get a glimpse. Here you are running around through the day, right? And all of a sudden, crash, bang, boom, and you're really feeling depressed. You're not identified, and something's off kilter, and just boom, you know. Well, just think of how marvelous it would be just right then and there to start flooding yourself with identity. Flooding yourself and claiming that identity and accepting that identity, and then recognizing that that very constancy of identity appears in the human as joy, and so good. As I'm identified, then I am just flooding myself with joy. And I am claiming and affirming that joy, and I'm nurturing and cherishing and accepting that joy, and I do that for myself and for every idea in the universe. And you know, there isn't an idea in the universe that isn't just flooding itself, just feeding itself with joy. And there isn't an idea in the universe that isn't acknowledging its joy, including, and all those, you know, people who don't seem to do that will flood into your consciousness. And I just say, yes, and they're all included, right? Every idea is acknowledging its joy. And every idea is tending and cherishing and nurturing and accepting and holding its joy for itself and for every other idea. Just, you know, it's so far-reaching, it's just absolutely marvelous. You can start out just as a practice flow, if you want, with all of the ideas of mind, both numerals and days, all of the ideas of spirit, all the ideas of soul, principle, life, truth, and love. If you sat down and verbalized them and did nothing else, it takes about 4.5 to 5 hours. If you want to just do it throughout the day as you're doing other things, that's beautiful. It's wonderful, and it keeps you there. And then you gain a consciousness of universal reflection. And so as you go about what appears to be daily experience, and a deflection seems to, you know, come popping up, it says, oh, you know, I'm this, I'm that, you know, in mind, you know, maybe I'm unintelligence, maybe I'm a belief of animal magnetism, maybe I'm a belief of astrology, or, you know, one of those goodies. You just say, no, not possible. Take it back into mind, you start absolutely flooding yourself with all of those wonderful divine qualities of mind. And every other idea, of course. And so whatever, it is the most phenomenal practice law, because your universe translates. It must. Because the problem is we have one set of standards, apparently, for ourselves, and another set of standards for the universe. Oh, yes, I'm working on this, and this, and this, and this, and this, but the universe is all haywire, right? You know, in Afghanistan, this is going on, and in Russia, that's going on, and in this school, that's going on, and in that's going on. And we all do it to one degree or another. We acknowledge that which appears not to be there. Now, I'm not saying be blind. You cannot be hear no evil, speak no evil, see no evil. You must recognize where error appears to be. That's true. Oh, this is a belief of. But do understand, it's a belief of. It isn't a fact. It isn't an actuality. It's only a belief of. And say, okay, right there in that place, I am going to be in the family law. I only have one family, right? Life, truth, and love. I only have the family of the motherhood of ideas, the fatherhood of ideas, the sonship of ideas, and the motherhood of ideas. That's my ideational family. That's the only family there is. Now that starts feeling just a touch human. Then you can recognize that that idea, which is fathering itself, sonshipping itself, motherhooding itself, is truly the idea of God, is truly the compound idea of infinite being. That is the only idea there is really, and the idea is the ideal idea that has come forth in the Christ, that has been manifested in the Christ. That is the idea that can appear as specified ideas, and each of those ideas belong to principle, dwell in the realm of mind, are of the nature of principle, are absolutely transparent in their infinite reflection, and are thereby providing and claiming and accepting the whole of being for themselves and for every other idea. So in truth, intelligence is providing itself with substance and with identity and with structure. In truth, intelligence is claiming that substance for itself. In truth, intelligence is accepting spirit's substance for itself. So if you want to lift it up and see it from the more absolute point of view, fine. But as a beginning flow, I suggest you start from home. You start with what appears to be you. Because otherwise, if you work in the absolute too much, or up on the hilltop too much, it'll never manifest itself in your experience. You really have to let it touch down and touch into the human need. So certainly start with the fact that I am providing myself with intelligence. And then gradually, as you flow and you flow and you flow and you flow, it will lift you up to the more absolute level where you're seeing, really, no, it's the ideas themselves that are providing themselves and each other with all of the qualities of the seven. And that is the idea and the law of universal reflection. I will take a 5-minute break, and then we'll do the structuring of consciousness. Just as we took a break, I had a question come up that is probably in consciousness, or it wouldn't have come forth at that time, asking for clarification about what or who or whatever is the idea that is doing the providing, the claiming, the accepting in the law of universal reflection. I believe we did go over that, but possibly it didn't come out in its fullness. So we will focus on it just a little bit more before we go into the law of structuring consciousness. That idea, truly, that is able to do that, that is fatherhooding, sonshipping, and mothering itself, is the idea of the Christ. The Christ ideal idea. But then, I am not separate from the Christ. That which I am is the Christ. Not Maria, not the way I appear in the human, but the reality of my identity is the Christ in its individualized, specified form, in its specified manifestation. So therefore, that I that is doing the providing and the claiming and the accepting is the Christ ideal idea, or if one wishes to see the specificity of it, the individualized Christ ideal idea, the individualized Christ consciousness that is doing the providing, the claiming, and the accepting. When I say I provide myself with intelligence, it is only my Christ consciousness that has the real ability to provide itself with mind's intelligence. It is only my Christ consciousness that has the real ability to acknowledge and to accept the whole of being as being my being and the being of all other ideas in the universe. So that, of course, must always be differentiated from the little I. No, it is not the little I that is doing the providing, the claiming, and embracing. But if I don't bring it to home, if I don't start with the real inner true being of me, then it's always up on the mountaintop. Then, oh yes, the Christ is doing all this, but I'm left out. That's what it feels like. It feels, oh yes, it's doing it, I know that it's doing it, but not in my life, not in my experience, not in my universe, or that one's universe, or that one's universe, or any other universe. So therefore, it's really important, even though one must clarify what one means by I, in the I that is fathering, sonshipping, and motherhooding, it is, yes, the individualized Christ ideal idea that is doing that, but that is me, and there isn't any other me. That's man. There isn't any other man. The compound idea, man, that is doing that. Okay? Now, if that's clarified, is that better? Okay, good. Let's go into the law of structuring consciousness. This will be the last law that we will look at today. And for those of you who have a bunch of questions inside that you've stored up, don't worry about holding on to them. When we have flowed together through the law of structuring consciousness, if you have those questions, feel free to ask at that point. In the law of structuring consciousness, we have our focus on structured understanding. It is that, it appears at that intersect where the vertical of science meets with Christian science, with the level of Christian science. That is called the science order. The science order is totally different from the other three, can you see? Because right away you say, oh, that's altogether new. It's structure. You don't just hear the tone of one synonymous term coming out. No, you hear soul life, you know, I can't even say it simultaneously, but it's really soul and life together, spirit and truth together, mind and love together, on the rod of principle. And it's that wonderful symbol of the candlestick that we've all known for so long, that grand rod of principle on which everything is hung. Soul and life, spirit truth, mind and love. But that's just a symbol, right? It's just a symbol. Soul and life represent the seven. They represent the numerals of infinity, the seven, the elements of the structured consciousness. Spirit and truth represent the four, represents the calculus, or the mode of operation, the modus operandi for combining the elements, for combining the seven. In other words, you know, like the addition, subtraction, multiplication of the numbers. The numerals of soul and that are represented by soul and life are like numbers in mathematics. The word, Christ, Christianity, and science, which are the calculus, the four, are like the addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division of the numbers. Then you have mind and love. Mind and love represents that in which everything is taking place, the matrix. You just see this grand, magnificent matrix, this intersection in which all of those calculations are continually going on within the womb, within the matrix. And principle there represents the omni-action, the omni-activity of all of the identities and the calculus and the matrix. It's ever operating as the numerals, the calculus, and the matrix. Believe it or not, that's the whole thing, and it's that simple. Structured understanding is divinely, scientifically understood as coming out from the unchangeable identities of being, the seven. Therefore, scientific understanding starts with the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. It is being conscious of what it is. It says, I am. Do you hear what we did today in the Word? It's being, being the Word of itself. It's being saying, I am mind. I am spirit. I am soul. I am principle, life, truth, and love. I am what I am. I am the seven. That's what soul and life stands for. It's being saying, I am conscious of how I operate. I know how I operate. That's spirit and truth, right? I know how I operate. I know how I calculate. I realize that every reflection of spirit creates new form. That a new form comes out of every combination, every reflection. That as the seven combine and recombine and combine and recombine, something new comes up each time. A new sense of form comes up each time. So it's an ordering of the elements, and the ordering of those elements determines the form. You know, if you're combining intelligence and substance, you get a form that is totally different than if you combine structure with consciousness. It's just a different form. It's a recombining of elements. If I combine five of those elements, and five of those elements are 10 and 10, or 20 and 20, or 1,000 and 1,000, I get different forms. But it's all within the reflection. It's all within the calculus of that being. And then being, in mind and love, is conscious of its total expression. I'm going to back up for a minute. Could you hear, in spirit and truth, where being was conscious of its operation? Could you hear the power plant there? That spirit and truth is really representing the Christ there. Okay? Now we go on to Christianity, in which being is conscious of its total expression. Total, right? All expression, the expression of all of itself within the matrix, within the womb, within the integrated wholeness of being. So all calculations then are the right calculations within that infinite self-containment of being. There aren't any wrong calculations. Every calculation that's come out from the operation of the calculus is a right calculation. It's a correct calculation, it's a perfect calculation, and it has its exact place within the self-containment of being. It's like there's a matrix within a matrix within a matrix within a matrix, and within that there are calculations and calculations of individual identities, and combining and combining and combining and combining within the matrix within the matrix within the matrix within the self-containment of being. That's really what's going on all the time. The seven and the four and the matrix. The identities of being being calculated by the operational quality of the Christ, being expressed fully in every possible way in the Christianity of mind and love. Why? Because being is conscious of the omniactivity of its own infinite being. Being is ever operating, as we said, as the numerals, the calculus, and the matrix. Therefore, the only principle's idea is ever going on. Only principle is the operative power. It just operates as the identities, the calculus, and the matrix. But it's really only principle's operation that is going on. So therefore, what's really happening is that principle is calculating its own being. That's it. It's the omni-activity of the identities, the calculus, and the matrix. That's the whole of it. That's really the whole of it. Therefore, if I want to scientifically understand in the human, right, what do I have to do? I have to proceed from the seven, right? I have to start with the word sense. I have to start with soul and life. I have to proceed from the seven. I have to culture the spiritual understanding of the seven. And as I culture that understanding of the seven, I am of the nature of the seven. Therefore, the little caption there says, as we spiritually understand the seven, so are we. Right? So what I have to do, exactly what we started to do today, I have to turn to the Word, I have to allow that declaration of the Word to tell me what it is, I have to come out from that which it is telling me. If it says I am mind, I have to come out from mind. If it says I am spirit, I have to come out from spirit, etc., etc., etc. So if it's intelligence, I come out from mind's intelligence. If it's spirit substance, I come out from spirit's substance. I don't come out from matter. If it's soul's identity, I come out from soul's identity. I don't come out from corporeal or physical identity or from psychic identity. I come out from soul's identity. And as I gradually come out from the seven, I become the seven. I am the seven. I am reaffirming my own ideational nature. I am gaining a scientific understanding of the identities of my own being. As I learn in spirit and truth to calculate in accordance with the calculus of being, as I learn to calculate with the tools of the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science, as I learn to calculate in mathematics through addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, the reordering and reordering and reordering of facts brings out something new, brings out in our life experience new discoveries. It's kind of a fact-arranging activity. So as I dwell with the fundamental relationships of the seven, and I understand the calculus, new forms will come into focus. Right? You've turned to the Word, you dwell with the seven, you dwell with that which mind is, and then in the Christ, as you focus there and you understand there and you allow that to calculate within your being, new forms come forth. And then in Christianity or in the Matrix, in mind and love, we really take a jump. We just kind of, just a huge shift, and we look out from structure. And therefore, all falls into place. You know, the minute you go, whoosh, and you look at something, everything has a place. It's like looking at the structures of these laws, the way they were so beautifully structured out. It is so easy to identify place value. Whereas, you know very well, if you just have notes and notes and notes and notes and notes and notes and notes on a piece of paper, you have an atomistic truth here, an atomistic truth there, a linear truth here, a linear truth there. Uh-uh. It's so difficult. It's so laborious. You go through pages and pages and pages and quotations and thoughts and passages, and it isn't very efficient. But if you have the identities of being, and you understand the calculus, and you let them calculate, and then you see it from the standpoint of structure, then everything falls into place, and every question that we have is answered. It is answered. And if it isn't answered, it's because it's the wrong question. And therefore, when you look out from structure, you see it's the wrong question, so it just falls away. But there isn't a question mark when you look out from structure. It's all there. It's an instructured, comprehensive view. Comprehensive view means I see everything at once. I see every detail, every calculus, every calculation, everything at once. But it hasn't left anything. You know, it's all in the self-containment. So that instructured comprehensive view then cites each idea in the right place. It says, oh yeah, I see. Yeah, you're in your right place within the matrix. It can't be any other place. It takes an exact position, and it's in the very right place within the matrix. So then we have the tools. When we have the identities, the calculus, the matrix, we have the tools to bring out the perfect structure, and those new answers really do present themselves. That's where the new ideas of science are being born. Within the matrix. That's the only womb there is. That's where they're coming forth from. And as principle, we see that principle operates through its system as proof. Principle contains within itself the proof of its structure. The identities, the calculus, the matrix are understood. Omniactive principle is doing the work. Oh, it's fantastic. Think about it, really. I don't have to do it. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to make a demonstration. I don't have to make it work. I don't have to calculate and calculate and calculate all those identities. I don't have to see them with in their right place within the whole. No. Principle is doing it. The omniactive principle is at work. It's at work as the identities, as the calculus, as the matrix, always bringing out its own proof. It demonstrates itself. Now what happens? If I don't really see scientifically, if I don't have even a humanly scientific understanding, if I have what's called an unscientific understanding, well, that's where most of us have appeared to be sitting. That's where we appeared to be coming out from. Well, instead of coming out from the seven, we come out from the counterfeits of the seven. We come out from the counterfeits of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We come out from human beliefs. And human beliefs are not really tangible because they're nothing. So there's nothing really there to calculate with. So what you have are just human beliefs in spirit and truth. Therefore, that calculating is appearing as a no calculating, right? As there is no calculus there. It's kind of a random combining, a random calculating. Obviously, you get false results. So resting on beliefs, there has to be an incorrect calculation. It just doesn't calculate properly. Or it doesn't calculate at all. It's just kind of a random processing type of experience in mind and love. Instead of looking out from an unstructured comprehensive view, we appear to be structure blind. It's that human calculation which appears to be blind to structure, which says, oh yes, well, I really do understand, I really do see, I see this and this and this and this and this, and oh, it's exemplified in my experience this way and this way and this way, but seems to be an inability to make the paradigm shift, to get up and say, oh, it really isn't what I thought it was, it's all different. It's that place in consciousness where it appears that it is structure blind, where it is blind to the comprehensive view of the subject, where atomistic thinking is all that's going on. It's just fact after fact after fact after fact, which have no relationship to one another. It's kind of purposeless demonstration. It says, oh yes, but you see, I really saw this particular phrase in the Bible. And I really saw what it meant. It was just glorious. And it demonstrated itself in my experience. This happened, and this happened, and this happened, sure. But for what purpose? To glorify God? No. And that's the only purpose that there is. Being, glorifying its own nature. Being what it is. Being forever, just welling up from within itself and operating from within itself and exemplifying what it is because it must, because that's its nature, because it is its own being, because that is the way in which it self-organizes. So, as an opposite of principle, if we don't have principle operating through its system, we automatically still have proof, but we have proof of our mortal beliefs and nothing more. We have the identities, the calculus, and the matrix misunderstood, not understood. Therefore, we have mysticism. Mysticism is simply just not understanding. So even if you acknowledge that there's a God, you don't understand that God, and you don't understand the way in which that God operates. So in this instance, it would be acknowledging that there is a principle, but not understanding the way in which that principle operates. You have, therefore, a sense of magic, because you try to operate it with little mental thoughts and ideas and pictures. That's magic. So you have an omni-activity of belief. You have person misoperating through a false system, giving its own proofs, rather than principle operating through its system, giving its proof. Principle operating as the seven, the identities of being, as the four, the calculus, the word Christ, Christianity, and science, as the matrix, the unstructured, comprehensive view of being. Principle operating it. Principle doing the work. It really makes it easy. Can you see? All I have to do is go culture the seven and go out from the seven. Go culture the four and let the four calculate in my experience. Go culture all that is Christianity. Go culture all that is the dimensions, the levels, the matrix upon matrix upon matrix to see the structure and let that principle lead the search. Let that principle do the calculating. Let that principle exemplify the matrix. Show me the matrix. Show me the structure. Let it operate. Let it operate me. Let it operate as you. Let it operate. And as we do, that human scientific understanding takes over, and the divinely scientific understanding is exemplified. That, in a very quick nutshell, is the law of structuring consciousness